Welcome back to the Radical Broccoli Podcast. I'm so happy to hear you tuning in, and I am excited for today's episode. For all of you regular listeners, hello again, welcome, and for everyone who is new, fantastic to have you here. I'm so happy that you found our podcast, that you tuned in. And this is a podcast created by me, Suzanne, and my sister, my business partner, Annette. We are the creators of the Radical Broccoli universe, and we love to talk about everything self-development, spirituality, sustainability, and everything that's happening in our lives, being an entrepreneur, and so much more. Today we have a special guest episode. We are so lucky to be able to have a talk with Matilda Ritzen from the Holy Crap podcast and universe. Holy Crap is Sweden's largest platform for spirituality and holistic health. And Matilda is a co-founder of this concept together with her partner Amanda. And today we get to chat with Matilda about everything we're curious about in her life. We also talk about Kundalini awakening process, which is something that Matilda introduced us for when we met up in Costa Rica. We also chat about how Matilda lives her life, how she takes decisions, her daily rituals, and how it was for her to take the big leap of quitting her job and going full-time as an entrepreneur in Holy Crap. If you're interested in these topics, if you want to feel inspired to be more courageous and take the choices that are important for you, I suggest that you tune into this episode and give it a good listen. And if you do get really curious about CUP, Kundalini Awakening Process, and what it's all about, we do invite you to join the class that's coming up in our membership the 14th of June at 7-9 Oslo time. You can check out the links below and find out how to sign up for this class. And I think it's going to be a fantastic experience that I would love for everyone to join. A bit further out in the episode, the sound drops for a moment when Matilda is explaining what CUP is. And what she's saying is that CUP is an energy transmission of two things, the Kundalini energy and non-dual consciousness. And if you like the episode, I would love for you to give us some stars in the iTunes app or a comment, or contact us on Instagram and let us know how you felt about the episode, or add a post in your stories on social media and we will repost you. Enjoy! Warmly welcome to our beloved guest, Matilda Ritzen from Holy Crap. And we're so happy to have you in our podcast today, and we're super, super excited to dive into these topics that we have prepared for today's episode. But firstly, we just want to know how you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I am doing great. So I came home to Stockholm 2 weeks ago. I was in Mexico for my CAP training, which I think we'll dive into later on maybe. But I am very happy to see summer and light, and actually to be home in Stockholm to hang out with my friends and family again. So, and I'm super happy to be here now. I'm tiny bit nervous. I usually do podcasting in Swedish, but I am super excited and feels like I'm with friends, so that feels good.
Yeah. And the last time we actually saw each other was in Santa Teresa in Costa Rica, where yes, you hosted a spiritual surf retreat with the podcast that you're running and company, Holy Crap.
Yeah.
So
that was so fun.
Yeah. It was good times.
Yeah, it's funny how we ran into each other probably 5-6 times.
The universe was like, hey, you know that you guys are gonna meet, right? Yeah. It's meant to be. So what are you trying to like escape from?
Yeah,
this is meant to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then we finally made time to have a lunch.
Yeah, and it was so cozy. There's so much happening in your life. Even just since Costa Rica, you have made a lot of big changes. And as you just said, you have had CAP. You're become a CAP facilitator, which we will dive more into because, oh, it's such an interesting topic. But first, I would like to hear a little bit from the start. You started Holy Crap.
Yes.
Do you want to, and together with Amanda, right?
Yeah. So my best friend since 15 years back. Yeah.
And this is a platform for spirituality, self-development, and really for people who are more curious about what's out there. You've created both a podcast where you interview really interesting guests on different subjects, and also events and different courses.
Yes.
So do you want to tell me a little bit about how this started?
Oh my God. So back in 2019, I went through a lot of chaotic things. So basically I had my spiritual awakening in the spring of 2019. And it seems like 2019 was a big year for many people. I don't know if you can agree, but it seems like a year where so many people woke up. So I had this, again, chaotic year. Everything basically fell apart. So much broke down, and my friend Amanda had this maybe a year before, so she knew how to guide me. So she was in LA at the time. She lived in Los Angeles with her husband, and she had the opportunity to like dive straight into everything spiritual. So back then, this was only 3 years ago, but Stockholm was very far from LA when it comes to the spiritual scene. And when she moved there, she found all of these amazing healers and people and podcasts, especially. So she listened to so many American, Canadian, Australian podcasts about spirituality. And she sent all of these podcasts to me and I started listening. So I discovered the world of podcasting through my spiritual awakening, and we started talking about that we wanted to find one of these podcasts in Swedish because we wanted something that is closer to home and something that is closer to heart in a way, and we couldn't find any. We could find maybe one or two, which was made by a generation or like maybe two generations older than us, and it was hard to relate, so we wanted to find a podcast which was, you know, made by someone who also had like a modern life and had like modern life struggles.
Yeah.
So we couldn't find any, and then we discovered we started talking about maybe create our own, and then the universe just made everything happen for us in like the most perfect way. So 6 months later, we had 2 months of we quit our jobs to start this entrepreneurship program, which nothing came out of it. So we had 2 months of not working, and we were like, wow, we have nothing to do. We have a long list of guests to invite, because at this entrepreneurship program, Amanda's business idea was to do how do you describe it? Like a company for healers and coaches.
Yeah.
So we had a long list of healers and coaches that she'd researched, and we could just like call them up and invite them to the podcast. So everything was so aligned. And then the pandemic came, which also was super meant to be, because that's when the podcast listenings, like everything blew up, and so many people needed guidance in those times. So it was interesting. The timing was very perfect. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's how it shows how aligned and meant to be it was for you to share all of the things you're curious about.
Yeah, and it's funny how when you told the story now, I kind of first journeyed with Amanda to LA and I pictured everything that was going on there. And then I saw you too in Stockholm. I love to hear stories about how things started for people.
Yeah.
Because it usually starts out with something, as you say, like a chaotic time and like, whoa, what am I going to do? And then maybe even time passes and you still don't know what you're going to do, but like suddenly ideas start coming and you start creating and it's like, oh, okay, this was meant for me all along.
And it's interesting because we both have had desires to communicate and like we've had all these types of interests, but we never thought about like it could be a podcast or this, it could be this kind of company. And we definitely never thought that spirituality and like health would be what we do for a living, you know? So it's also funny like how you try and plan your life and you have this 10 years like 10-year plan and then you know you can like you can never plan anything.
No,
basically
it's like me and Annette in our studies. Annette studying history and war studies and me studying economics and finance. I don't think we ever thought we would have a membership on self-development and a podcast and like we wouldn't, but that's when you just follow your desire, that's kind of how it happens. But did you have any fear involved in the process of starting the podcast? And how did
that go? I mean, I was quite insecure about speaking out and coming out of the spiritual closet and like really talk about all these wacky subjects. Because we talk about self-development and health. That's kind of the red thread throughout the podcast. But it's also, we also discover all kinds of weird things, you know, like star seeds and like the more wacky alien stuff. And at the time, no one spoke about this in Sweden. So much has happened in the past years. So it was like very, very bad looked upon. I had like friends from previous workplaces who actually removed me from Instagram when we launched a podcast. I heard like people talking about behind my back, and it was quite, I have had struggles, you know, coming out of doing this and be more public, and it was a bit hard in the beginning, but it was also the passion and like the happiness of doing this work, and that took over. But it was definitely not without a bit of a stomach ache and a bit of an anxiety connected to it too.
That's so brave to go through that, because that, when we asked a question recently on our Instagram, what holds you back from following your dreams? I think 90 or 95% reply that the fear of what others would think is that what holds them back.
I've had that so much in my life. Like, it's one of my biggest wounds. I still have, like, this week, I've had this coming up. I don't know if it's something connected to the moon or the stars in some way. But I haven't been so much in it for the past 6 months. But it came up again, like, oh my God, do I sound this and that, like in our previous episode, and should I say this, and maybe people are going to think of me like this, and I mean, it's such a big, I hate this part of being human, you know, the ego and all the fears connected to what other people would think, and I mean, intellectually, I know that everyone, like, we have the same type of struggles. We have the same type of fears. We are so similar. We have so many similar emotions. But either way, it's hard to be authentic. Like,
But I think it's important for people to hear that it's possible to have these fears and do it anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to define your life or take over your life, which I think, you know, when they come up, sometimes they can feel paralyzing, like you can't do anything about it. But hearing, you know, that you moved through it, you'd done it anyway, and you guys became wildly successful from sharing your passion. And I'm sure for each time it shows up in a different way. It's not the same kind of fear that showed up when you just started.
Yes, that's true. And it's so much less now. So every time I push through a fear and every time I kind of, you know, do it anyways, as you say, it definitely decreases and it's different. It's so much softer. I can come through it in like, you know, maybe an hour or whatever. Yeah. Before it was like stuck in my system for weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely changes. If you just dare to push through.
Yeah.
And just feel and see those and acknowledge those feelings, but know that it's not the true you, it is your ego. And it's like when I had this meetup in Oslo with our members recently, we talked a lot about this topic of that voice. Like they were asking me, like, do you feel like that voice decreases or is it always going to be there criticizing you? But what I've experienced is the same as you. It will actually decrease the more you go through it, the more you go through
yes.
it. But also I feel like the relation to it changes. It's not like that's me anymore.
Exactly.
Observe it from the outside and then still connect with the heart and the authentic and then go through it.
Mm. But yes. It is, yeah, I agree. It is super challenging.
Yeah, it's like this. We've talked a lot about the vulnerability hangover sometimes. After.
Oh my god, yes, I have it quite often.
But it's interesting to hear you say that, and I love that you're so honest, because when I see your posts on Instagram, for example, it feels so pure and authentic you, and it's you're sharing so... It's like you can feel it, this is you.
Mm.
I don't know how to explain it better, but you
know, like, yeah, 100%.
Like, this is Matilda.
Yeah.
And she means this, aww, and she's experienced this, and it's so beautiful, and it feels like you don't really care about what other people think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wow!
Yeah.
That's the biggest compliment I've ever had.
Yeah,
I do. I care so much, and I'm so deeply aware of it, so I have a very hard time not being authentic. I think it comes from my upbringing. Mm. My dad is the same, like, it's very hard for me. I can completely see through everything that is fake. So if something feels fake, like, it's impossible for me to share it or like write about it or anything. But I'm very like, yeah, I'm still quite self-conscious.
You're human. But what has been your biggest challenge so far being an entrepreneur, do you think?
I think it is throwing yourself out there. And also, I think quitting my job was very hard.
And that
it
was,
took me...
That was quite recently.
Just, yes, it was 2 months ago. And it wasn't hard then because it's gone too far. Like, I've been wanting to quit like 6 months or like more. I don't know how honest I should be, but I've been feeling this so much. And I was quite afraid of... Especially like the economic, like the financial situation of running the company and be so dependent on income and sales. And because Holy Crap has been our passion project, and it was quite nice to have it like a passion project in a way, because we could do only the things that was like 100% from the heart. So if we didn't feel like pushing or selling anything for 2 months, we didn't have to because we weren't dependent on any sort of income. So that was hard to get into more of a business mindset with the company. But now I just think it's super fun. Like, I don't have any of those thoughts anymore. I just think it's exciting that we are able to offer things to our audience that they want to, you know, that they want to purchase, and it's a win-win, and it's an energy exchange. So now I've completely got over those thoughts, but it was very much about that. And me and Amanda has been discussing this so much, like, how do we not turn this into a business? It can't be too businessy. But that was just fears. Fears of, I guess, and not make it in a way. Like, if this turns into a business, then we're not gonna make it.
Yeah, very relevant fears, and I like that you also can see it as a fear and not as the truth. Because again, it can be so tricky sometimes to know when we navigate out of something that feels, like these thoughts, they can feel very real. And then when we just go through them, then suddenly we realize like, wow, it's actually not true. It can be a different reality.
That's such a relief.
Yeah. And I also am curious to know what is the best part now about you have quit your job and you're 100%, you know, free to do what you want. What is the best?
It's definitely the freedom.
Mm.
And I would say it's freedom in so many ways. So I work many, many, many more hours than I did in my previous job. So it's not freedom per se. I at the computer, like, too much. It's the freedom of doing my own thing. So if I want to post something, if I want to write something, if I want to launch something, everything comes from us and we decide everything. It doesn't need to go through any, you know, decision layers or hierarchy or all this, those things that comes with corporate jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's so amazing to do everything authentic again, like, because working for a company, some of the projects that you do can be super authentic and they can come from your heart, but many of the projects is coming from someone else and it's like just executing on someone else's ideas. Now we can just do everything that comes from us, and it's gives so much energy, I think. And also deciding on what kind of energies I'm surrounded by, what meetings I'm having, what people I'm seeing, what projects we're doing, like everything is, I don't need to go to meetings with people I don't want to, it's draining my energy, and it saves so much energy that I can put into work instead of being completely exhausted by the end of the day because I was forced to do small talk for 4 hours.
Yeah. And how did you know? Could you describe the feeling of knowing that you needed to quit?
It was in my whole body. I don't know what happened to... So when I was in Costa Rica for 5 weeks, and it was like a portal of a new life. I don't know if it's Costa Rica, you know it better than me. That's the energies of that place. But I came back completely different. I was such a different person. And it was like I cleansed my whole energy field, and I was just very much myself. So coming back was like entering a different world, like my old self. And it felt so unaligned. So I was like, oh my God, I can't, like, I don't know how to do this anymore. Yeah.
That's great.
So it was super, again, I think I could have quit it like 6 months ago, and I kept myself there because of fears.
Yeah.
And because I guess the timing wasn't right. So, but now coming back and feeling the shift of what happens to me when I push, like when I force myself to be in that environment and how much that hurts me. It was very easy to do, like to take the decision. And I could have just worked in a cafe instead. Like it was so, I needed to change environment.
Yeah, I recognize that feeling.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things that it was actually you that introduced at least me to it in Costa Rica was CUP. And it's something I know that you did a lot while you were there. And you just had some weeks in Mexico becoming a facilitator. So I really want to talk more about this because it's one of the wildest things I've ever experienced in my life. But first, can you tell us a little bit what is CUP?
So CAP is an energy transmission of two things. So it's both energy, which I think a lot of you are aware of what that is. And then it's also consciousness. So it's non-dual consciousness. And non-dual means basically not two. So it's about the consciousness of everyone are one. So we are all one. So this also happens in a session that you get the energy transmission. So your body can start moving, for example. Mm-hmm. And you can have all kinds of different experiences. You can have movements, you can have visions, you can go on astral journeys, you can have emotional releases. But you can also get into the non-dual state of consciousness, which is basically a very blissful state where you feel love for everyone. Usually coming out of a session, you've experienced both. So it's very nice in many ways. And it's also interesting what happens after a class, because the energy keeps working with you for weeks after. What do you guys think about CAP?
Wow. I think it was one of the fastest ways to have a really mind-blowing spiritual experience. Because you don't, like, your biggest task when you're lying there and you're in the class was to surrender and to relax. And usually, you know, I've done a lot of Kundalini, and it's more about you creating a lot of energy, breathing, moving. But now it was the opposite. It was relaxing and actually letting something flow through you.
But also letting the ego go.
Yeah.
Because the ego came in, like, for me at least, wanting to have some sort of specific experience or picturing what would happen, and that almost blocked the natural flow of the energy.
Yeah.
It was so interesting. I remember we talked about that after the first class. It was like a period of a lot of noise in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
Quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I experience it too. When you surrender, you are completely in your own energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a good practice in life. Like, how can you stay in your energy when you're surrounded by a lot of noise? You know?
Yeah.
And I think it was super interesting for me also. The first time I had a very huge, like, a lot of anger came out of me afterwards. It was so uncomfortable because I wanted so hard to be blissful and happy and just feel all the oneness, but I was just pissed off. So I came home and I cried and I like punched in the air, like screamed, but all that had to come out. And then the second time I tried it, he pushed the facilitator, Josef, I think his name is. It's fantastic. And he pushed so hard on my lower belly. I think I had a blockage in a chakra or something like that. And ever since that, it changed something with my health also. So also on a physical level, like digestion-wise and like feeling of more flow after that, which was super, super interesting. So I think something happened with a block that's been there for years. And that second time I also came into this oneness and bliss and like almost ecstasy with the body dancing, and I saw all these colors, and then we were like cheering on the ATV back home, just like, woo, life, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
It is very nice to let all of those, like, all that energy out, because we have so much stuck in our system. We're not at all aware of all the energy that we have stored. And having an opportunity to let it all out, like, or parts of it out, it's such a freeing emotion, like a freeing feeling.
Yeah.
So I've been looking for a cup here in Portugal, and I found a retreat upcoming in June.
Okay, yeah.
So I wanted to sign me in and up for that and keep it going, because I just want to experience more of that.
Yeah, but we also, you know, we're trying to get you here because now you're a facilitator.
I am coming to Portugal, you know?
You are? Okay.
Are you?
Fantastic.
In July. Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. I didn't know it was final. Oh, that's so fun.
Oh, okay.
So I'm coming starting July 11th.
Okay.
For 2 weeks.
Amazing. Ooh. So you have to tell us about Mexico and going deeper into COP and actually becoming a facilitator. Do you want to share some of the highlights?
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience because I was part of a group in the training, and we were 30 people maybe. Mm-hmm. And everyone are super duper activated, and activated means that you've done a lot of CAP, so you are very home in the energy, and the energy flows through you very freely.
Yeah.
Which means that in those sessions, in the CAP sessions, that you have a lot of things are happening. Like, the more you are introduced to the energy, the more different types of things can happen. First of all, it was interesting to do those CAP sessions with that group, because you're just surrounded by so much energy, so it's like everyone are buzzing. But it was also very interesting to meet the founder of CAP. So CAP was founded in 2016, which is not at all long ago, so it's very new in the energy scene. And it was founded by a guy called Venant Wong. He's Chinese-Australian. And he has done so much in his life up until like discovering that he has this gift of transmitting and also teaching this to other people. It was amazing to be with this group and also with him and hearing him talk about life. And I think it's interesting because I'm so drawn to CAP. So are you, and I also think it's because I really like his energy. So he's very simple. Like, everything about his life and how he thinks about life is very simple. It's like, you don't need anything. Spirituality is not like, you know, you don't need any like stuff or gurus or you don't need to do anything. Like, you don't even need to meditate. Like, he's very much into the simple life, and you just need to be. Like, cut the crap and be authentic. And he's very human. He's very, like, he's very raw in every way. He swears, and he expresses his emotion. He cries, he screams, he's very human in every way. He's not sitting there on a pedestal being like a guru. And I'm very attracted to that kind of energy. So that was very inspiring. And it's so fun to learn how to do CAP. You know, you feel like Harry Potter in a way. You move your hands above someone's body and they start moving. It's like, how is that possible?
Wow.
And how was it to teach for the I don't know, you don't call it teach, but to facilitate for the first time? Like, because you've received a lot of CAP, but then suddenly you were going to stand there yourself. How did that feel?
I thought I would feel like I was faking, like I just, like, you know, like a child trying something for the first time. But it actually felt more home, at home than I thought it would be. And I heard it from a lot of my fellow people in the group. They said it felt very like coming home in a way. So it feels very natural. And I think it's because you're in the energy, like you're a vessel for the energy. So you're in it at the same time as the person on the floor. So you go into some sort of mode where you don't have a lot of ego at the time in that moment. So it's very much of a spiritual experience also facilitating. You can have your thoughts, like you can think about anything, but then you're also in a very loving kind of presence mode. So it felt, but it felt also like a bit weird and a bit like, is this really happening at the same time?
Wow. And do you ever feel the energy of those you're facilitating for?
Yes. That was interesting that I get a lot of messages instantly when I started doing it. Like, I intuitively know where to put my hands. I get messages from like, oh, they have a heartbreak and they have a lot is in their head, like the energy is so much in their head.
Yeah.
I need to do more work with the head. And now I need to go to the feet and like, oh, I need to run to that person.
Okay.
She needs the pressure in her solar plexus. Like you get those kind of intuitive messages when you work. It's cool.
It sounds very cool. And do you feel like you bring the energy? I'm thinking about like your energetic boundaries. How do you feel after a session? Do you feel really high and filled, or do you ever pick up on people's trauma or challenges, or do you have any ritual to like switch the energy around?
I don't think I've practiced enough to know. I've only had 4 classes. Because I felt quite depleted the day after my recent classes. So I think I am practicing on holding the energy. But I don't think I pick up and like bring with me other people's emotions, actually. Because I feel very neutral in the moment. Like whatever comes up, whatever I'm sensing or feeling, like I just leave it there, and I don't have any sort of attachment or any thoughts about it. I'm like, nice, cool.
That's amazing.
So I think that's good.
And that's so fascinating. So now you will be teaching in Stockholm, or do you have any plans for what you want to do?
I will be doing some classes now in Stockholm. We're also traveling to Gothenburg and to a smaller city close to Gothenburg. So if we have any Swedes listening, go to my Instagram and check out where we're going to be. I just want to travel.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Stockholm is my place right now. I'm super excited to explore more of the world and come back here and have this as my home ground, but then be out. I'm very like Portugal and LA and Bali is what's on my wish list to go to.
I'm excited for that.
And will you bring cup with you on the road, or can you do it anywhere?
Yeah. That's a good part. You don't need anything to do it, like that's my plan, and I'm kind of envisioning now working more on those tropical places, like what we did in Sunia, those kind of sun decks, and
I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
100%.
We are so excited to share with you more of the other things we are building outside of this podcast, and that is our beautiful membership and the Radical Broccoli shop. And a lot has happened since we started. I'll talk about the membership first. We are such a beautiful group of people from all over, mostly from Norway, also from Europe, and every single month we have 4 sessions together, 2 with guests that we invite in to talk about different topics that we just are really curious about and really know will help us to evolve and to feel good. And 2 sessions are with me and Suzanne, where we have one that we call Heart to Heart, where each month we choose a topic that we really feel passionate about. And the last few months, we have talked a lot about money and abundance. And now we're going to talk a lot about body confidence, how to connect to the body, how to feel good in our bodies, and how important it is to know that this magnetism and radiance really comes from inside, not from
how we think we look or how society thinks we should look or anything like this. And it's just amazing to see what happens when, you know, we get this switch. I think my favorite thing about having this membership is all the connections, where I know so many beautiful people and really new friendships and new connections. We had a beautiful meetup in Oslo, where Suzanne had 20 of the members on a sauna, floating sauna, and we're gonna create so much more of this in the future. So if you are curious about, you know, spirituality, self-development, growth, and you really, I think a common thing is that you haven't maybe that many people to discuss it with, and you really want to share and you want to learn, you want to grow, and you know there's more out there, and you know that you're meant to have this fantastic life, this is your group. This is for you. And I don't believe in coincidences. Everybody's there for a really, really good reason. And we are just so warmly welcoming you to join us and create with us and chat with us and just see the shifts that happen. For new members, we also have discount codes in the shop, and we have a lot of new things happening in addition to these four sessions. We have embodiment dance that Suzanne is offering, and which is really like this beautiful emotional release. And we have a lot more in store that is coming for us. And the other thing I wanted to share with you today, dear podcast listener, is about the Radical Broccoli Shop. So we created this shop because we wanted you to have this experience, this moment, this second of time where you just relax and appreciate and fall into gratitude. And I envision the customers who buy the gold milk, the Anima Mundi powders, the candles, the journals. I really envision you all sitting down and taking these moments for yourself where you just feel elevated and you can feel the energy of the product, which really we choose what we think is the best of the best. And in these moments, I hope that you feel, you know, that you are the one. You're the one you've been waiting for. Not to get super cliche, but, you know, that's really what I envision. And that's how I use the product. And that is what we wanted to create this store. Another, of course, important factor in the Radical Broccoli Shop is the sustainable aspect of it. We want everything to be ethically produced. It's so important for us. Because I truly believe that the world needs it. We need more people being conscious of what they use, what they put on their face, what they put in their hair. And this will just be so much better for nature. And I know all of you listening already care so much and know this, but we also want to make it very available for you. Because in the jungle of things, it can be hard to find things that work. And as you know, Susan and me have done research for 5 years. We're pretty, what can I say? We're getting pretty good at it. And right now we have some beautiful skincare bundles that we just made and launched in our shop. And they are consistent of things that we know will make your skin glow from the inside out. And all products are naturally made, no nothing, no bullshit in them. They're just really, really highly vibrational, super beautiful products. And we really know that you're gonna love them. So thank you for taking the time to listen. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. So much love.
But I'm also a little more curious about, because, you know, you have interviewed and researched so many different spiritual practices and concepts. So I'm really curious to know what you actually implement and use in your daily life and what has really helped you. especially like right now you're in a big transition. Is there anything specific you use to get through it or navigate?
Oh, it's so hard to say because we've tried basically everything that we have, like that we speak about in the podcast. It's we want to try everything before we launch an episode for it to be, you know, to have someone vouching for the experience in a way. So, and I think everything has come in very timely where I was and have been at the time. So when I've done shamanic healing, it's been because, you know, that was what I needed then. I needed to look into my subconscious, or if I did Reiki, it was because I needed to relax. And so it's super hard to say. And I think stuff comes into your life when you need it. And everything has prepared me for being where I am right now. And so right now I'm very focused on the stuff that I'm doing now. So CAP and non-duality is what I think is helping me. And it's been what has been mostly transformational, I think. But it's because it fits me and my personality very well. It's like, it's high music, a lot of energy, a lot of a release. It's a wilderness in like with it, like in a way. But the more calmer healing forms is beautiful. Like, they've really benefited me in periods too. So, yeah, I think it's hard. What do you guys say? Because you've tried so many things too. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I've also been through so many different things at different stages in life, I would say. For me, I have some things that I always come back to. For example, I love working on the subconscious mind, where I go through my... If I'm triggered, for example, if something really shakes me, or I feel, whoa, this is a big fear, I love going back and understanding where it comes from. Usually it's in childhood somewhere, and releasing these. And that's something that... Yeah, I've probably also since 2019 I've been doing it on and off. Other than that, it really varies. Also where I am in life, like when we were in Costa Rica, I almost feel like, you know, just being outside surfing, it was, and dancing every single day was the biggest connection to just love all the time.
And to self.
Yeah.
And other times it's more about silence and more meditation and journaling and inner and slower and calmer.
Yeah.
It's like the seasons of life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But
depending on what you need. So I've needed a lot of wilderness. So I have this challenge in life to get out of my, to really stand in my light. Yeah. And not dimmer my light. It's always my shadow side. So every time I feel insecure in any way, I try, like, I belittle myself and do those things to make myself smaller and control myself in a way.
Yeah.
So that's why I think those things has been very important to work on different modalities to dare to stand in my light. But yeah, it's so individual, you know, what kind of challenge you have.
And do you have any daily rituals? Do you have like a morning ritual or evening ritual?
No.
No.
No, I don't do any rituals, no.
No.
I do, like, I love pulling tarot cards.
Yeah.
I love doing journaling, so I do it quite often. But I can't stick to any rituals.
No.
And I don't think you have to. Like, I think some people love it.
Yeah.
And some don't.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm the same. I think it's so.
Yeah. I also like to mix it up a lot. It makes it interesting. It makes you know new things about yourself. But I think we're all very, very different. I think some people are... They thrive on routines.
Yes. Yes. And, there are a lot. I have a lot of friends who are like that, like who have their morning rituals and they love it so much and they just want to inspire everyone to do it, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm also quite, like, honest with them, saying, like, I love you and I think your rituals look amazing, but I can't keep them up. Like,
yeah.
It's impossible. Like, that just makes me feel like I'm controlled and stuck.
Yeah.
I want to flow.
Yeah.
The feminine wild energy needs to flow.
I think so. I don't know what it is. And I also saw something in human design. Like, you can see in your chart if you have... I think it was maybe you guys who shared this.
Yeah, maybe. Those little arrows on the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can see if you have them in some specific order, then you're not into a routine life.
You had a routine arrow in your chart, Annette.
Well, it was on and off. I think it was everything to do. If you're stuck in a system, for example, school was not great for me because it's like one way of learning and one way of doing it. And I'm the opposite, just want
freedom
in every way. So yeah, I don't think I had routine.
Yeah, we looked at those little arrows on top of the human design chart.
Okay.
And if it pointed one way, you're like prone to life routines better.
Yeah,
and we were a bit surprised because we thought it would be the other
way. Oh, that's what now I remember. Yeah, I guess it's one thing I'm yet to land in.
I think it's just fun to check. I mean, it doesn't always necessarily say that then, okay, if you have it in your human design chart, you have to live like that.
Yeah.
But it shows you, okay, does that resonate for you or not?
Yeah,
and then
that's
you
true.
Choose.
Yeah, that's true.
Free
to
choose.
I think it's good not to get too stuck up on any of those kind of, what do you call them?
Modalities. Or
because I love human design and astro. I'm very much into astrology. But I also find myself, you know, like, whoa, but I'm everything. Like, I'm not just this moon phase. I'm so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important because we can kind of, it's kind of a way to escape also from reality. If we get too far into following our chart or too far into our signs or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instead of just being and letting ourselves be everything, as you say, everything we want to be. We can be so many things at once. We can be the really, really emotional person, but also the craziest on the dance floor, and also the most outgoing,
exactly,
a bit shy sometimes. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I've learned this so much actually from Amanda, because so my friend who I run the podcast with, she's very much like, don't put me in any box, and I love it. Like, because I've been wanting to put myself and other people in box, because it's nice, you know, to kind of, oh, she's like that, good, then I know how to behave and how to act around her. But the more I discover the spiritual world, the less I want to be connected to those things.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
And I really want to know, we're approaching the end, but I just know that so many people listening are probably where you were, maybe before you started Holy Crap, or before you actually decided to quit your job, like on this, what do you call it, cliff, before you know you have this passion in your heart, you really want to, but you're scared. Do you, now that you've gone through some fires, do you have any advice for people?
So my first advice is to work. If you have some sort of passion, or you don't even know what you want to do, but you know it's something different than what you do today, try and see if you can work 80%, so 4 days a week. And so you have one whole day a week where you just discover yourself.
Mm.
And maybe that could be to do a course, some sort of training before you discover what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then do that as long as you feel confident. I did it for 2.5 years. So, I mean, it's a long time before I had the courage to let go. Two is, I think it's very nice to have a partner to work with. Like, it takes away so many fears.
Yeah.
Because you can lean on each other and you are not solely responsible for anything, because you're always two. Even if you are, you don't feel like you are. Like, because... Yeah, it's nice to have someone to lean to, and also to have someone to experience everything with, because you want to like, your friends don't want to listen to everything that you do. So that's a very good thing, I think. if that flows, like if someone comes into your life and it's very natural,
yeah,
try it out. And I think do something within your passion, areas of passion, because that makes everything so much easier. I think people listening to your podcast already knows this, because running your own business, you work all the time, and I don't think it would drain me out if it wasn't something that I love. And it's so much easier than you think.
Yeah,
I think so. I don't think it's very hard.
No, you get extra support.
Yeah, and you're supported. You're supported by the universe, and you learn everything. Like, you don't know what to do, and you just try, and you grow so much every day. So, I think I heard so many stories about being an entrepreneur and like having your own company, and I didn't think a lot of it is true. Like. You can do it your way. You don't have to follow any, but it's quite nice actually to listen to other people, other entrepreneurs, like just to be in the energy of knowing that everything is possible. But don't listen too much on the scary stories and like everything's so hard, and because they don't have to be for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's so important. We have just put everything aside that, I mean, if it's not inspiring and lifting me up, I don't want to really take it in.
No.
Like bad statistics about companies and stuff like that. It's just like, makes me feel powerless. And that's the opposite of what I want to feel when I create.
I have people in my surrounding, my close surrounding, fortunately, who like have a lot of fears connected to me running my own business. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I could have gone into all of those thoughts. Like, what are we going to do in 6 months? What are we going to do? Like, but I don't want to put myself in that energy.
No. It's a different, when you see it from the light of the creation and how you serve the world through what you're doing, I think it's a different consciousness than seeing it through the lens of fear. It's opposites, actually. We can swing back and forth, I think, but then if we always come back to conscious lens, it feels purposeful and like what we're meant to do. I sometimes think that business or entrepreneurship is like this, it's not actually a business, it's like, how can we grow personally as fast as possible and help others do the same in the container of a company?
Absolutely. And I see Holy Crap very much as its own entity. It's like it takes us on a journey. And it does what it needs to do, in a way.
Absolutely.
It's very much its own energy.
And we have a fun question. Okay. What is the weirdest spiritual thing you've ever done? Or like the weirdest modality or concept you've ever tried?
Oh my, I think it is CAP though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having your body move like a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are conscious and there all the time and like observing this happening to your body. It is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I have to say, or you know, so much is so weird in the spiritual, like going to like a psychic or a shamanic healer and hearing them talk about your deepest inner secrets. Every time it's so weird, I think, and amazing.
Yeah.
So it never gets boring and it never gets like ordinary, I think. It's always like, whoa, wow. And our listeners is like, hey, this is just, you know, why are you so fascinated by everything? Because I'm still so, and both of us are still so fascinated by like, whoa, yeah, what that? And they're like, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, this is, you know, this is the normal. And it never gets normal for us.
Wow. I like that.
We're, yeah, we like children in the experience, or exploring this film.
Yeah.
Even though we've seen, you know, everything,
yeah.
It is still very, very, very cool.
Yeah, I fully agree. Like, if I know I'm going to book a reading or have something fun like that coming up, it's so exciting. It's like Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, ooh, what's going to happen now? My soul.
And I am actually happy that is the case, because we're just 30. I'm 31.
Yeah.
I want to be surprised by life or the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I think with that energy and that intention, you will never be bored.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, this was lovely. Thank you so much for sharing everything you shared, for your vulnerability, honesty, for your energy, your warmth and inspiration. Very, very inspiring. I feel inspired and filled up with a warm, honey energy for me.
Thank you so much. Me too. And whoa, being on the other side, it goes so fast.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm usually not on, you know, I'm usually the one interviewing.
Yeah.
So an hour just flew by.
Yeah.
And how was it to be a guest?
Fine, but also, like, I want to ask you so many questions.
Yeah.
And I keep stopping myself, like, no.
Totally understand.
Yeah. Well, we just want to thank you so much for coming, and we will link all everywhere we can find you under the show notes. And if you're in Stockholm right now, you have to hurry so you can catch a cab with Matilda before she leaves and travels.
Yes.
And
yes.
Follow on Instagram, because, you know, if you're in Bali or Portugal this summer or wherever you're going to decide to go, we need to know so we can
go there.
We can go there.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to meet up.
Yeah.
Super looking forward to that.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you so much. And see you soon.
See you soon.
See you soon. Thank you.
Recording stopped.